Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 6 lines from the bottom of Daf Dalid Omid Beis. We may have pointed out last time that the Gemara from this point till Daf Vov Omid Beis will be involved with one basic topic, and we've listed this or noted this on the side of the Gemara under our topic heading called the Nosei, where we've written and indicated until Vav Amud Beis, Mekoros L'Shiur Asorot Tfachim. The Mishnah mentioned that a sukkah is considered unfit if it is less than 10 Tfachim. The Gemara wants to know, where do we know this from? We begin the Gemara quoting the Mishnah, V'she'eno gvo asorot vochim, min olon. From where do we know this? Now, we use the firebox marking here because this issue, or this one-word question, from where do we know this? Well, it's the subject of the Gemara til davov amid beis. Hence, we want to accentuate this word. So, from where do we know this? Itmar rav v'rabi chanina, v'rabi yochanan v'rab chaviva, Masnu. We have 4 Rabbonim, 2 pairs, and they teach. Now we skip the brackets, the 2-line brackets. We skip. What do they teach? They teach a source for the question, an answer to the question. Aron tisha v'kaporas tefach. The Aron that held the Luchos, the 10 Commandments, it measured 9 tefachim. The Torah speaks about the Aron as being amos v'chetzi komoso, 1.5 tefachim of height. The kaporas tefach, and it had a cover to it. The cover was a thick golden cover, measuring 1 tefach thickness, adding another tefach in our calculations. Hare kan asora. That accounts for 10 tefachim. Now, what's the connection between the Aron and 10 tefachim and sukkah? So the Gemara cites a pasuk, which will provide us with the answer. However, before we go any further, we must present to you the superstructure of this long sukkah. Now, in the context of the Daf Yomi Shiur that we are currently delivering, we will not complete the entire sukkia in this particular shir. We mentioned already that we have to learn not only Daf Hei, but we have to learn Daf Vav also. But nevertheless, you noticed a Roman numeral number 1, and indicated right under it is a Roman numeral number 2, but we're pointing out that you'll find that on Daf Hei Omid Beis, so that the Gemara will present as a 10 tefachim source to start off. It'll present, as it just we saw, the Aron and the Kapores. Exactly how that relates to the Sukkah and definitions of domains, that we haven't explained yet, but Roman numeral number 1 is associated with the Aron and the Kapores. Roman numeral number 2, because of whatever question we will end up with regarding approach number 1, the Gemara will lapse into or seek out a second approach, and it will say mi beis oilomim gomar. Gomar means learn. We learn from a calculation that has relevance or that's derived from the beis hamikdash. What that means, of course, we'll wait and see. And later on Hey Omid Beis, you can see Roman numeral number 3, where the Gemara says, Hilchisa Gemiri Law. it is an oral tradition. In other words, the definition of a wall or the height of a domain is, and being 10 tefachim, is something derived from an oral tradition, not based on psukim, but from a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. That will be the third approach. Now, by the time when we get to that, we have to, we'll then have to present the continuation of the sugya and the markings and structure, but that we'll hold off with that till now, because right now we've given you the superstructure of today's shiur, namely three sources that the Gemara presents as a basis for the 10 tefachim of a sukkah. So we read a couple lines of Gemara. We even skipped a bracketed section, and the reason for the skip is something that is explained by Tosfos in Maseches Shabbos, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, where the four rabbis that we just saw presented here, they are presented as teaching us something. Masnu. What are they teaching? So the answer is they're teaching that Aron Tishah V'Kaparos Tefach is the basis of defining what a domain is, a minimum size of a domain. In the brackets, though, the Gemara points out parenthetically, and let's read the brackets now, B'kula Seder Moed, when you're learning Seder Moed, we are learning Seder Moed. Maseches Sukkah is part of the second of the six orders of the Mishnayos. Seder Moed is what we're learning. So when you're learning Seder Moed, Kol Ki Hai Zuga, when you see these names in pairs, Chalufi Rabbi Yochanan Uma'ili Rabbi Yonasan, you would remove Rabbi Yochanan and insert instead Rabbi Yonasan, so that we have four rabbis that are teaching, and who are they? Well, you have Rabbi and Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Chaviva. That's what the brackets indicates, that with that when you're learning Seder Moed, switch Rabbi Yochanan in favor of Rabbi Yonasan. Now, what did they teach? They taught that Aron Tisha v'Kaparos Tefach, Arei Kan Asora, the Aron, based on all of this, is based on this, the Aron's height of nine tefachim, 1.5 amos, is in the Torah. So that accounts for 10 tefachim. Uksiv. And we continue reading in the Gemara, the bottom line. V'noyadeti lachshom v'dibarti itcho me'al ha-kapores. The Pasuk says that the Almighty tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I will meet you and communicate to you from above the kapores. Again, the kapores is the golden cover of the Oron, so that the divine voice, divine communication emanated from above the kapores. We continue at the top of Daf Hey Omer Aleph, V'Tanya, and we have a Brisa, Rabbi Yosi Yomer, Me'olam Lo Yorda Shechina Lamata, V'Lo Olu Moshe V'Elio Lamoroi. Something very shocking to many of you, maybe, but it says that the divine presence never descended to the ground, if you will. Lamata means descended downwards. Well, if the Shechina never descended downwards, but it spoke from above the Oron, that would indicate that there's a separation of realms, of Rishuyos, at that mark. So that from 10 Tefach down is one domain, and above 10 Tefachim is another domain. And the Almighty never descended. The Almighty, we speak about His... the voice of the Almighty. We have to learn this Gemara on a certain level, because when we speak about the Almighty, obviously He's Malo Kol Olam Kulo. But for our purposes, we're going to stick to the text. The Shechina, the divine presence of the Almighty, never descended within 10 Tefachim. So that Rashi on the second line from the top says, Ushma Mina Lamala Me'asora Mifsak Rishus, above 10 is a separate domain. The Brisa also mentions that Velo Olu Moshe V'Elio L'Moron, even though we're used to thinking that that Moshe Rabbeinu ascended up to heaven, and that Eliyahu HaNavi ascended heavenwards, they never went above 10 tefachim. Shinemar, Hashamayim Shamayim LaHashem V'Aretz Nasan Livnei Adam. The heavens are unto the Almighty, and the earth was given to man. At this point, the structure is phenomenal. We have to take note of what's going to happen. We have a bracketed section. You can see it's rather long. Use your bracket length indicator and notice, skim down to where it ends. After the bracketed section, the Gemara continues dealing with the Aron and the nine Tvachim and the one Tefach of the Kaporas, and wants to make sure that we have sources for everything we've said. Because up till this point then, we've established that the Aron and its Kaporas represent the 10 Tefach Shiur defining a domain, a Rishus. Therefore, the Sukkah, in order to be considered a domain, it must reach a minimum of 10 Tefachim. Less than that, it's not considered a domain, an entity. So, as we say, the Gemara after the brackets, let's just read a couple lines to get a flavor of this. Bishlamo Aron Tisha, I understand that you have a source for the Aron being 9 Tvachim, Vichtiv, Yosu Aron Atze Shitim Amosayim Vochetzi Arkay, V'amo Vochetzi Rachbo, and we dash on the main point of the Pasuk, V'amo Vochetzi Kemosu, and that's all that we have to focus on, that 1.5 Amas is its height, 1 Amma has 6 Tvachim, a half an Amma then will have another 3, 6 and 3 is 9 Tvachim. So that we can see from the Pasuk. Elo kaporas tefach minolan. Where do you know that the kaporas measured one tefach? One, and for our purpose it would be one additional tefach. Where do we know that? That will be the Gemara's preoccupation when we get to that point. However, we have a long bracketed section, and on the side of the Gemara, under our nosei, we have written Aleph, Lo Yarda Shechina Lamata, Me'asora, and Lo Olu Moshe V'Elio. Under the Mivneh heading, and we indicate that this Mivneh, this structural note, is for the section of the Gemara within the brackets. That's why we wrote here Besocha Sograyim. We feature a diamond. Kushios Al Shnei Nekudos Dilia. We have questions on the two points were mentioned earlier. In other words, we mentioned that Lo Yarda Shechina Lamata, we're going to ask on that, and we're going to ask on Lo Olu Moshe V'Elio. And the double underline highlights the word V'Hoksiv. These are Kushios Elu Mevusasas Al Psukim. We'll have some of the questions will be based on Psukim, and then we double underline V'Hoksiv, introducing the Pasuk that will serve as a question. We also have, even though we spoke it out orally, we have a starred note in the other margin where we've written Sograim L'Shem Dilug. The bracket section is for skipping. Kedei Lishmo Aretzev HaKriya Uzrimas HaChashiva, in order to preserve the flow of the reading and the continuity of the thought. There will be, within the bracketed section, questions on the two points that were mentioned in the Braisa. So with that having been said, we turn our attention to the bracketed section, realizing that after the brackets, we're going to get back to the discussion of the 10 tefachim accounted for by the Aron and its cover, and we'll be focusing on the issue of how do you know that the cover really had one tefach of thickness. Velo yorda shechina lamata. As you can see, in the source that we read, it mentioned that lo yorda shechina lamata. Here, on the fourth line, we're asking, is that really so? V'hoksiv v'yered Hashem al har Sinai, and the Almighty descended upon the Mount of Sinai. So the Shechina did come down. The Gemara said, no, lemalo me'asor tfachim. It came down, but lemalo me'asor tfachim, meaning, if you can say, it hovered at a height of 10 tfachim. In other words, there was a descent, but not to within 10 tfachim. The Gemara asks, v'hoksi v'omdu raglov bayom ahu al har hazesim, a reference to the Almighty, that the divine presence shall have its legs dwell on the Mount of Olives. So, does that not show that there is a descent to the ground? The Gemara says, Lamalo me'asor tfachim. But not mamish to the ground, not literally, but rather hovering above 10 tfachim. Question, V'lo olu Moshe v'lilu morom. Is that really so that Moshe and Eliel did not ascend heavenwards? V'alksiv u'Moshe olo el v'alakim. It says that Moshe ascended to the Almighty. Moshe says he ascended, but not above 10 tfachim. L'mato, he remained within 10 tfachim of the ground. Question, v'alksiv ayal Elio basor ha'shamayim. And the prophet Elio ascended to the heavens. Where it says lamato me asora, he remained within 10 tfachim of the ground. The hoksiv, but does it not say me achez pene kisei parshez alov anono? And this pasuk is explained the omar rav tanchu milamid shapire shakai miziv shchinaso the anono alov. The word parshez in the pasuk is a notrikon and is an abbreviation of the words Shapire Shakai Miziv Shchinoso, that the Almighty departed from his heavenly glow. But the point is, and there's some more background needed for the pasuk, that the pasuk is describing the divine presence as protecting him. So we see, though, that there was some kind of ascent heavenwards. So the Gemara says, Lamato me asora. He never ascended more than 10 tfachim. Mikol mokom, but still there is a question, Ma'achez penei kisei ksiv, that he held the heavenly throne. And is it not reasonable to assume that the heavenly throne is located more than 10 tfachim above the ground? The Gemara says no. Ishtarbuve ishtarbiv leikisei. Ishtarbuv means lengthened. The legs of the heavenly throne lengthened ad asora till 10 tfachim v'nokat bei, and he held upon them. The heavenly throne legs descended to within 10 tfachim, but there's no indication of him arising above 10 tfachim. As you can see, the bracketed section closes, and we return to the discussion of the source for 10 tfachim, as was stated in Roman numeral number 1. It's the Oron and the Kapores. The Gemara says, Bishlamo Oron Tisha, we can easily account for the Oron of having a height of 9 tfachim dichtiv. The pasuk says, V'osu Oron Atze Shittim, Amosai Vochetzi Orkoi, V'amo Vochetzi Rochbo, V'amo Vochetzi Koimoso. The pasuk giving the dimensions of the Oron, it mentions at the end of the pasuk where we have the dashed underlining that its height was 1.5 amos. 1 amo is 6 tfachim, therefore 1.5 amos is 9 tfachim. Elo kapores tefach menolon. From where do you know that the cover of the oron was a tefach thick? And of course, if we can establish that, we'll get to our 10 tfachim statistic. So we see on the side of the Gemara we have a title heading, the Nosei. And we've indicated Hemshech, that this is a continuation of the general topic, Kapores Tefach Menolon. From where do we know that the Kapores was one Tefach? Mivneh. The structural note indicates we have a crown shape here, These are tshuvos l'sheilo hanal. These represent the Gemara answering the question of where do we know that the kapores, the aron covering, was a tefach thick, hence adding the additional tefach equaling 10 tvochim of aron height. So we have a crown, you can see here, two lines from the bottom, you see another crown marking where Rav Huna appears, and we've indicated next to Rav Huna that this is that will be Rav Huna Aleph. There is a second version, and that will appear on the third line from the top of Omid Beis. However, that's what we're calling Rav Huna Beis. So we continue now back in the Gemara. How do we know the Oron Kapores was a Tefach? The Toni Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina teaches the following Tanaic source. Kol HaKelim She'osa Moshe Nosna Bohen Torah Midas Orkon Midas Rochbon Midas Kumos. And all the vessels that Moshe Rabbeinu made in the construction of the Mishkan, the Torah provides us dimensions of their length, of their width, and of their height. Kapores, midas orko, umidas rochba, no. The covering of the oron, the kapores, we know there is a length and width dimension. Midas komosolo, no. The Torah did not give us its height. Say ulamad mipochos shebekelim. Go out and derive it from the smallest other vessel. Shenemar, there's a posuk by the Shulchan. The Shulchan was a vessel that stood in the Mishkan, that upon which the Lechem Haponim sat from week to week. And it says regarding the Shulchan, Vosisalo Misgeres Tofach Soviv. The Shulchan had a Misgeres, a frame around it, measuring a Tefach. Ma lahalon tefach, just like over there, a tefach is stated. Akan, by the kapores, we will also assume it to be a tefach. On the side of the Gemara, under the Mivne heading, we feature a triangle, and they are Kushios al hanisoyon lilmot shir tefach lekapores mi mizgeres hashulchan. These are questions that are questioning the attempt to learn the tefach dimension from the shulchan mizgeres, from that frame that ran around the shulchan. The Gemara asks, v'neilaf mekelim gufayu, why not learn the kapores from the actual vessels? As opposed to the misgeres, which was in effect a rim or an attachment, form of a rim around the shulchan, learn the kapores dimension from one of the other actual vessels. The Gemara answers: Tofasta meruba lo tofasta. If you try to grab upon, to conclude from something that's meruba, that's large, that's more than, then you will not be successful. You won't necessarily be able to hold on to it. Tofasta mu'ot tofasta. However, if you seek out, grab upon that which is smaller in quantity, that's a more sure bet. Question, v'neilaf mitzitz. Well, why not learn the dimension of the kapores from the golden headplate worn by the Kohen Gadol, the Sanya, and here we have a source describing the tzitz with the dimension. Tzitz doima kimintas shelzov. The tzitz was like a golden plate. V'rochov shnei etzbosma. We dashed underline it because this is the main point. The width of the tzitz was two finger widths. Umukov me oizen la oizen, and it spanned from ear to ear of the Kohen Gadol. The Kosev Olav Shnei Shitim, written upon it in two lines, were the following: Yud K Mi lemalo. That's a reference to the ineffable name of the Almighty. And the kodesh lamid, the word kodesh and the letter lamid, milamato, below that. So the reading of the golden headplate was kodesh lashem. The Omar Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Eliezer presents an alternative opinion, and he says, Ani ro isiv baromi, I saw it on the occasion that I happened to be in Rome. Rome destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and plundered its contents, including the golden headplate of the Kohen Gadol, and he says, I saw it there. The Kosovo of Kodesh Lashem b'shita achas. And the expression Kodesh Lashem was on one line. But for our purposes, not to get sidetracked, we see that the tzitz measured two fingers, two finger widths. So the kaporis, why not conclude that it too was two finger widths, and which is less than a hand breadth? The Gemara responds, donin kli mikli, v'ein donin kli mitachshit. We want to derive the dimensions of a vessel, the in this case the kaporis, from that which is a vessel, as opposed to deriving that which is a vessel from something that is an adornment. The tachshit Rashi adds here, malbush l'odom, an article of clothing for a person. So article of clothing for a person is not going to set the precedent for something that's a vessel. Question, v'nelef mizer, d'yomar mor zer mashehu. Why not learn the kaporas from the zer? The zer was a type of, literally is a crown. Now you can see on page 15 of your Pirush Chai, picture 67, what the zer might have looked like. So why not learn from that? And the tradition is that the zer had a negligible dimension, so to have a very thin kaporas. The Gemara responds, "Donin kli mikli, v'ein donin kli mitach mi hechshu kli." We are going to derive a vessel from that which is a vessel, but I'm not going to derive a vessel from that which is a hechshir, hechshir, something that's not the vessel itself, but it's, as Rashi says, kishut. It's something of a decorative nature. So something that's decorative is not going to serve as the source for the kapores, the cover of the arm, which was not designed to be decorative. Question, Ihochi Mizgeres Nami Hechshir Klihu. But isn't the Mizgeres of the Shulchan, the frame around the Shulchan, also something of a decorative nature? So the Gemara says, Mizgerto Lamata Hoysa. Now there's an illustration, 65. Where you can see the Mizgeres is labeled in the picture, and it was something that was not decorative. It ran below the surface of the table, of the Shulchan. So it was a type of frame or addition running around the bottom of the surface, not the top. The Gemara says, Honicha leman de'omar mizgarto lemato hoysa. The issue of where exactly the Mizgeres was positioned on the Shulchan is controversial, so that this explanation enabling the Mizgeres to be a source for the Kaporas is fine according to that opinion, that the Mizgeres ran around beneath the surface of the Shulchan. Elo laman domar mizgartoi lamalo hoiso maiko lameimar. Hai hechsher klihu. According to the opinion that's reflected in illustration 66, where the Mizgeres is running around the top of the Shulchan, so what are you going to say then? Is it not a Hechsher Kli? And if it's a Hechsher Kli, so then I can learn from the Zer, which is even smaller and conform to the concept mentioned earlier, Tofasta Mua Tofasta. If you have something that's unknown and you have different options, you would want to learn from the lesser quantity item, being a more sure bet. Ella? Donin dovar shenosna boi toira mida, midovar shenosna boi toira mida. I'm going to learn the aron and its covering from the shulchan. both of which the Torah gives dimensions. There are dimensions for the Aron, and there are dimensions for the Kaporos, just that the dimensions of the Kaporos don't include its thickness. But nevertheless, I'm going to learn the Aron and Kaporos from the Shulchan, where the Torah gives us a dimension including the Nisgeres. The Al Yochichu Tzitz V'Zer, and I'm not going to allow the Tzitz nor the Zer to prove the dimension of the Kaporos, Shelo Nosno Ben Torah Mido Klal. The Torah itself doesn't give us any dimensions for a Zer, nor for the Tzitz. The Tzitz, there was an oral tradition reflected in the Brisa that it was Rochav Shtei Etzbos, but the Torah itself doesn't reveal that. So they are not relevant to the Aron and Kaporos, whereas the Shulchan, where the Torah gives us dimensions, has a greater connection and similarity to the Aron and Kaporos, which also was given dimensions by the Torah. And I therefore can conclude the one last dimension, the one unknown dimension, the thickness of the Kaporos, therefore from the Mizgeres of the Shulchan, regardless of where the Mizgeres was positioned. Rav Huna Omar. Rav Huna is a second source, a second approach to the issue of the thickness of the Kaporos. It says, Al Pnei HaKaporos Kedma. What we have to do is emphasize the dashed underline expression. The word Pnei appears in the context of the Kaporos. V'ein ponim pochos mitefach. There is a tradition, and Rashi says at the end of the Rashi commentary, V'ein ponim shel odom pchusin mitefach. A man's face is not less than a tefach, a handbreadth. Now, you see triangles used. In this case, they're inverted. And on the side under the Mivneh heading, they're Kushyos al Tshuvas Rav Huna. These represent challenges to Rav Huna. V'eimor ke'ape de bar yuchni. Ape is a face. Now, we're at the top of Omid Beis. Bar yuchni is a type of large bird. And some like to translate it as an ostrich. But whatever the case is, it has a very large face. And maybe that would then be the source. If you're saying Api is the source of it, that the Kaporos then be learning from the Bar Yuchni would be more than a Tefach. The Gemara answers, as we've seen before, Tofasta Meruba Lo Tofasta, Tofasta Mua Tofasta. If you have an unknown and you have two ways to go, two paths, two choices, choose the lesser. That's a more sure bet. The Amo question, Ka'api de Tzifrisa de Zutar Tuva. Well, if you're into Tofasta Mua Tofasta, so you can learn from the face of a Tzifrisa, a very small bird that has a very small face, much less than a Tefach. And then conclude that the Kaporos had a very small thickness. Omar Rav Acho Bar Yankiv. Rav Huna, and here we have a refinement of Rav Huna. That's why we're calling this the Beis version. Rav Huna Pnei Pnei Goma. Rav Huna is based on a Gzeira Shova. In other words, he's not based on just the fact that the word Pnei appears by the Kaporos and we work with a given that face of a man is no less than a Tefach, but rather there's a Gzeira Shova, a word comparison between the word Pnei of the Kaporos and Pnei by a human being. And by a bird, there is no posuk using the word Pnei. So he explains, Ksiv Hochel Pnei HaKaporos, Ksiv Hosom, it says here by the Oron covering Pnei HaKaporos, and another posuk says, Meis Pnei Yitzchak Aviv. Hence, and we mentioned before that a person's face is no less than a tefach, and Yitzchak being a person indicates a tefach. Question: the Nalif miponim shel malo dechtiv. Well, if it's word comparison that you are basing yourself on, well, learn from the ponim word that you find by a description of the Almighty. Dechtiv kirois pnei elakim vatirzeni. that would lead you to something of an infinite size, if you will. The Gemara says, Tofasta maruba lo tofasta, tofasta mu'at tofasta. Once again, stick with the lesser of the two, and you have a more sure bet. So we're not going to even think that the Gzera Shava is from the Pasuk of Kiros Pnei Elikim Vatirtzeni. The double underline you can see on the side is, this is the second one we're seeing, are Kushos al Haloshens Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Bedivrei Rav Huna. These are challenges to Rav Acha's presentation. Rav Acha indicated we would learn the Pnei of the Kapores from through a word comparison to another area where you find Pnei, and that led Rav Acha to say it's clear then that it's a Tefach because we learn from Pnei Yitzchak. Well, another question then. V'neilaf mikruv dechtiv el hakapores yu pnei hakruvim. Kruv in English is often translated as a cherub. In the Beis Hamikdash, on the Aron, there were images of kruvim. And the assumption right now is that these cherubic faces would be less than a tefach. So the Gemara now answers Omar Rav Acha Bar Yankiv, and he is how he's underlined, and you can see on the third line from the top, he is the one we are discussing right now. So he responds, Gemiri ein pnei kruvim chusim mitefach, v'Rav Huna nami mehocha gomir. The oral tradition is that the face of the kruv was no less than a tefach, and in fact Rav Huna learned from here. When Rav Huna says Pnei HaKaporas, and courtesy of Rav Acha we know he's learning a Gzeres Shava, so the Gzeres Shava is between Pnei HaKaporas and Pnei HaKruvim, working with the oral tradition that the Pnei HaKruvim were a Tefach. Hence the Pnei Kaporas, the Kaporas thickness is also a Tefach. Umay Kruv, what is behind the word Kruv? Omar of Abiyavo, Kravya. Shekein Bebovel Koren Lianuka Ravya. It means in one word a child, a baby or a child. Hence the Kruv is in fact a person's, as a reference to a person's face, and that leads us to the Tefach. Omar le Abaye, elo me ata. Well, if that is true, that the Kruv means a Tinok or Yanuka, elo me ata, dechtiv, pnei o echod, pnei hakruv, upnei hasheni, pnei adam. The Pasuk uses two expressions, a Kruv versus Adam. In other words, it sounds from this Pasuk that they're two separate things. But according to your explanation, Hainu Kruv, Hainu Adam, they are one and the same. A Tinok is an Adam, just a young Adam. So why does the Pasuk make this distinction, calling Kruvim one, there were two Kruvim, one a Kruv and the other an Adam? But if a Kruv means a Yanuka, well then they're one and the same. Why does the Torah, why does this Pasuk in Yecheskel use two different expressions? The Gemara answers, in truth, they are both references to people. But Api Rabavi, the Api Zutra. One is a larger face and the other is a smaller face. But when we speak about a face of in the context of a person or an image of a person, it's not less than a tefach. So at this point in the Gemara, the kapores is a tefach, and it's derived from the gezera shava pnei pnei. However, we're not home free. Don't forget, we are describing or discussing the minimum size of a sukkah as 10 tefachim. When we say that, it means that the space, the interior space of the sukkah, measures a height of 10 tefachim, and once you measure 10 tefachim, then you hit the schach. So what does the 10 tefachim refer to? It refers to the gap, or the airspace in the sukkah. In Hebrew, that's the halal. The Gemara asks, "Umimai de halola asora bar mischocha." Who is to say that the from this limud of the kapores, the oron and the kapores, that translates into airspace of sukkah being 10 tfochim. Emo bahadischocha. Maybe the 10 tfochim is inclusive of the schach, meaning that the airspace of the sukkah itself might be something like 5-6 tfochim, and then you add to that the thickness of the schach, giving you a total of 10 tfochim. And if you were learning from the oron and its covering, total of 10 tfochim, so that you have a total, the oron, the box that contained the luchos, plus its covering was 10 tfochim. So maybe that's the same thing by the sukkah. The airspace plus its covering, i.e. the schach, is 10 tfochim. And we know that's not... And we know that when it comes to the sukkah, we're determining the minimum size of a sukkah, the airspace, the halal, is 10 tfochim. After all, we're talking about something that a person is able to get into and dwell in. So the whole attempt that we've engaged in till now, that we labeled as Roman numeral number 1, namely, learn sukkah airspace dimension from Oron Kapores, is not conclusive. Elo mi base oilomin gomar. Hence we see Roman numeral number 2. Base oilomin means the base hamikdosh. And this is in contrast to the Mishkan. We're now going to talk about the Beis HaMikdash. However, we're not abandoning Mishkan. You'll see how Mishkan figures in this Cheshbon later on. But do note that we have a long point right now. We learn from the Beis HaMikdash. And the best way to approach this Gemara is simply to go with the flow, take it line by line, add up the numbers, and see how we're going to get to 10 Tfochim. Takes a little work. The pasuk says, "Dichtiv v'abayis eshebono melech shloimoi l'ashem shishim amo or koy v'esrim rochbo u'shloishim amo koy mozo." Once again, as we are famous for this in Gemara markings, we dash underline the main point, so that the pasuk gives us different statistics, different dimensions. The length of the Beis HaMikdash was 60 amos, the width was 20 amos, but the height, this is what we have to emphasize, 30 amos. So that's one number you put aside, 30 amos of height. Uksiv, and it says regarding new kruvim. Up till now, we made reference to kruvim that sat upon that were part of the cover of the aron, but there were two additional statues that are heavenly ordained of kruvim. They were tall. Actually, you'll see here they were komas. There were two, and this was in the Beis HaMikdash Shlomo HaMelech was commanded to build, and it says Uksiv Koimas Hakruv Echad Eser Ba'amo V'chein Hakruv Hasheni. Another important statistic, then we dashed underline that the height of the Kruv statues in the that stood on either side of the Oron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, each one measured 10 amos of height. So the numbers that we've seen so far is the structure of the Beis HaMikdash measured 30 amos of height. The kruv reached a height of 10 amos. V'tanya, and a Tanaic source adds, Ma motzinu Beis HaLomim kruvim b'shlish habayis hein ondin. In the Beis HaMikdash, the ratio of 10 to 30 is one-third. In other words, the height of the kruvim reached one-third of the total height of the Beis HaMikdash. So just like that was the case in the Beis HaMikdash, the permanent structure built by Shlomo HaMelech, Mishkan Nami Kruvim B'Shlish HaBayis Hein Omdim. Now, you can take advantage of your Pirush Chai, illustration 72. This conveys the point we are looking at. You see the Kruvim, on the right-hand side, the height of the Mishkan will be given to us right now. It measured 10 amos. The kruvim will have to have reached one third of that height. Now, here we go into the Gemara and the numbers, everything is spelled out. Mishkan kamohave, the height of the Mishkan was how much? 10 amos. 10 amos, dichtiv, the pasuk says, Eser amos oirech hakeresh. The length of the beams that constituted the sides of the Mishkan, each one had a length of 10 amos. And when they were erected, so that accounted for 10 amos of height. Kamo havi luhu, translating amos into tfachim terms, how much does that come out to? Shisin pushri, 60 tfachim. If one amo is 6 tfachim, 10 amos are 60 tfachim. Tilse kamo havi, 1/3 of 60 is how much? Esrim pushri, 20 tfachim. 20 tfachim represents then the 1/3 height mark of the Mishkan. And that also equals the top of the Kruvim. In the Mishkan, there were Kruvim that sat upon, that were part of the cover of the Oroin. They reached a height, a total height of 20 tfachim from the ground. Dal asoro di oron v'kapores, subtract from that 20, 10 that were made up or accounted for by the oron and its cover. And you can see this in illustration 72. The oron and its cover reached a height of 10 tvachim. The kruvim themselves reached a height of 20 tvachim. We read again in the Gemara, Dal Asora de Onve Kaporos, Poshu Lehu Asora. That leaves a balance of 10 Tfachim for the Kruvim. In other words, from the surface of the Oron, from the surface of the cover, till the top of the Kruvim, 10 Tfachim. Uksiv, Vahoyu HaKruvim Porse Kenofayim Lemalo, Soichichim bechanfeim al hakapores. The Kruvim had stretched out wings above that were overshadowing Soichichim, from like the word schach, a very significant word over here. Soichichim, covering with their wings the kapores. Kari rachmonos chocha. The Torah uses the term schach in the context of the kruvim l'malo me'asora. Those wings were hovering at a height above 10 tvachim. So from the bottom of the wings to the surface of the oron, we have accounted for 10 tvachim. The Gemara asks, Mimai de gadfayu ilui reshayu kaimi? Who says that the gadfayu, the wings, were above the Kruvim heads, enabling us to say that the airspace under the wings was 10 tfachim? Dilma lahadi rishayu kaimi? Maybe the wings were parallel to the Kruvim heads. Now we know that the top of the heads reached 10 tfachim. Now if the wings were parallel to the heads, that would then leave the space under the wings at being less than 10 tfachim. Omar Rav Acha bar Yankiv. Interestingly, he is the same name that we saw when we were dealing with the Roman numeral number 1. He appears again, and he says the word lamalo ksiv. Lamalo means above, meaning they weren't parallel to the kruvim, but above the kruvim. V'yem o demidli tuva. Well, once you say they were above, maybe they were stretched out way above. The Gemara says, Miksiv lamalo lamalo. Does it say in a double expression? It doesn't say lamalo lamalo, indicating just lamalo means immediately above the Kruvim heads. Now, the Kruvim heads, we indicated before, were 10 tvachim above the kaporas. The wings were stretched out right over their heads, leaving an airspace, a gap of 10 tvachim from the bottom of, from underneath the wings till the top of the oron, and the word used by the Torah was sochachim, like the word schach. So that this indicates to us that the schach of a sukkah likewise hovers over or covers an airspace, a gap, minimum 10 tefachim. The Gemara continues with a question. Notice it's a long question. All of these calculations, the Gemara says, Honicho l'Rebbe Meir, Diomar kol ho'amois hoyu beinonios. All of this is fine and good according to Rebbe Meir, that says that the Amos cited by the Torah in the context of the Mishkan and vessel construction were beinonios, average size Amos. When we say average size Amos, in simple terms, it's a reference to 6 tefach per Amo. Using that statistic, so we came out with the 10 tefach minimum shiur for a sukkah. Elola Rebbe Yehuda, Diomar Amo shel binyan shisha tefachim v'shel kelim chamisha. Now here again we have illustration 7.2, left hand side. In the, of course, in the Pirush Chai, Rebbe Yehuda says that structure Amos, when the Torah cites dimensions of a structure, then it's 6 tefach per Amo. However, when dealing with vessels, including the Oroin, 5 tefachim per Amo. Now, translating that into our sugya, the Torah says regarding the Oron, Amo v'chetzi komoso. Amo v'chetzi means 1.5 Amos. According to Rebbe Yehuda, 1 Amo is 5. 1.5 Amos would be 7.5. The Kaporos is not measured in terms of Amos. It's given as a Tefach, so that would then account for one more. 8.5 Tvachim. The Oron then was 8.5 Tvachim. The Kruvim, having had to reach the third mark, that would mean that the winds of the Oron were just the top of the Kruvim would have had to reach the 20 Tefach mark of the Mishkan. As we saw before, it had to reach one third of the total height of the Mishkan, which was 60 Tefachim. So the gap between the wings and the top of the Oron, being that the top of the Oron reached only 8.5 tefachim, and the wings were at the 20 tefach mark, that would leave you with an airspace, a gap of 11.5 tefachim. If you add 8.5 with 11.5, you get to 20. But 11.5 is not the number that we're looking for. We're looking for 10 tefachim of sukkah airspace. You can't, according to Rebbe Yehuda, then learn 10 tefachim airspace of sukkah from the Oron and the Kaporos and the Kruvim. So the Gemara says, Ma'iko l'meimar. What are you going to say? What's going to be? And the question continues, giving all the statistics that we just spoke out. Oron v'Kaporos kamahave. The 7.5 of the Oron and the 1 tefach of the Kaporos, how much does that come out to? Have a look. It's Havilahu tamne upalga. That accounts for 8.5 tefachim. Poshulu chatzor upalga. That would leave you then with a balance of 11.5 more till you get to the 20 tefach mark of the Mishkan. Emo sukkah adahavio chatzor upalga. You're going to tell me that a sukkah is kosher if it has only if it has a minimum of 11.5 tefachim? No one says that. We don't have anything like that on record. So how does Rabbi Yehuda know that the height of the sukkah is 10 tefachim? The Gemara says, Ela le Rabbi Yehuda hilchisa gemiri la. Notice this is approach number 3. Hilchisa gemiri la means it's an oral tradition. The Omar of Chiyo Barashi, Omar Rav, Shiurin chatzitzin u'mechitzin, halocha l'moshe m'sinai. The rules governing shiurim, different quantities, the Gemara will elaborate on what that's referring to. Likewise, chatzitzin are interpositions when it comes to mikveh immersion and purification. the rules that govern chatzitzin u'mechitzin. The mechitzin is dashed underlined because that is what has relevance to us right now. Mechitzin, we're dealing with the sukkah has walls. We can associate the walls of a sukkah, upon which you will place the schach, not below the walls, but above the walls, the mechitzin, and there 10 tfachim is an oral tradition dating back to the giving of the Torah, but we don't have any scriptural reference to that. So as far as Reb Yehuda is concerned, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai teaches me 10 tfachim as part of the realm of mechitzin that are covered by the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. At this point, as we said at the outset, this was a very long sugya. It goes till Vav Amid Beis. We, in the context of Daf Yomi, are going to have to pause over here, but not before we tell you a little more about structure. You'll notice there's a bracket that starts here, and we even indicate, because of its length, we wrote in, we ordinarily don't do this, writing in bracket length by words, but it's so long, it goes till Vav Amid Beis. So take note of that, and notice to the left-hand side of the Gemara text in our Gemara markings, in the Shas Ozer, a vertical dash dotted line, but look, where does it end? And you'll notice, if you can scroll ahead, turn ahead till Vav Amid Beis, you'll notice about 8 lines from the top, the end of the brackets. So if you've got Vav Amid Beis accessible right now, look what happens in the Gemara. We skip to Vav Amid Beis, 8 lines from the top, the end of the bracketed section. Ha'nicha l'Rabbi Yehuda. Well, this approach that Halacha L'Moshe Misinai teaches me 10 tfachim as part of the rules of Mechitzis, that is fine according to Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, he needs the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai to yield the information we were looking for, the 10 tfachim. Elo l'Rebbe Meir, ma'iko l'meimar. But according to Rebbe Meir, who was able to derive the 10 tfachim from the relevant psukim concerning the kruvim and the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, ma'iko l'meimar, what do I need the hilchisa of mechitzin for? Now there is, as Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, he taught us that there's an oral tradition concerning mechitzin, concerning walls. What value is having an oral tradition concerning mechitzin when the information was able to be derived from the verses? The Gemara will answer there on Vav Amid Beis. According to Rabbi Meir, ki asa hilchisa, the role of the oral tradition concerning walls is not for the 10 tfachim, but rather legud, the lovud, the doifen, akuma. You notice we numbered them off. 3 separate laws regarding walls that have as their basis or their source Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And what are they? Good, as a reference, good means a wall. Good Ochis Mechitza, that has to do with the imagined, it's fictional, but it's fictional in the sense that it has halachic basis, but it's imagined, the imagined descending wall. Good Osik or good Ochis Mechitza, you have the concept of a wall either rising or descending, and this is a topic we've seen earlier in our Masichta already. Another halach is lovud. Lovud is the idea of attachment, that if you have two items that are wall related, we'll say, that are within 3 tvachim of one another, and we had this also with regard to the 2 short sukkah, you dug a pit out in the middle of it. We use the concept of lovud within 3 tvachim. It's considered attached. And dofen akuma, also a topic that has direct sukkah relevance, the concept of the bending wall, which we discussed earlier. We're not going to go over it again, having simply noted that there are 3 halacha lemoshe miSinai wall related halachas that come under the heading of that which Rav Chiya Barashi says that mechitzin are halacha lemoshe miSinai. Notice, as once again, the structure of this Gemara is something just so incredible that it's worth noting and having clarity on. Within the bracketed section that is not going to be the part of today's shiur, though, the Gemara will be focusing on the other two points, the first two of the three halacha moshe miSinai that Rav Chiya Barashi made reference to, shiurin and chatzitzin. And the Gemara will be challenging Rav Chiya Barashi's contention that they are merely oral tradition, when in fact, regarding shiurin and chatzitzin, we find actual verses that deal with them. Why then does he classify shiurin and chatzitzin as coming under the heading of halacha moshe miSinai when there are verses that deal with that? And before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.